So just as we have to change our entire energy infrastructure on a physical level, we really are going to have to change our economic infrastructure, our whole financial infrastructure.
Absolutely, and our political infrastructure too. Because in order for us to be able to make decisions about how to change the economic system and how to change the energy infrastructure, we're going to have a political system that can respond to these challenges. And unfortunately, our current political system responds primarily to campaign finance, campaign donations from huge corporations. We have a political leadership that's really incapable even of understanding the problem, much less responding to it rationally. And it's like the generals who are always prepared to fight the previous war. We have politicians who are completely unable even to comprehend the nature of what's approaching us.
Talk about energy slaves. What does a barrel of oil do for us?
Yeah, well, a barrel of oil has a tremendous amount of energy chemically embodied in it. And if that energy were equated with the amount of energy that the average human being puts out in working all day, 8 hours a day, and if you were paying that human laborer $15 an hour for her or his labor, the amount of energy embodied in that barrel of oil would represent about $45,000 worth of labor. And that barrel of oil currently goes for about $30 on the international market. So you can see this fossil energy that we've become addicted to, it's a huge, huge boon. It's easy to understand why we've become addicted to it. It's like free money. It was deposited there tens of millions of years ago by nature, and it's as though we have this bank account that was left to us by a rich uncle, and we've just been drawing down from that bank account. And unfortunately, we haven't thought about what we're going to do when all the money's gone, or when all of the oil is gone, in the analogy.
So, excuse me, but let me get back to the car.
Yeah, sure.
I haven't owned one in over a decade, but I keep saying to myself, gosh,
good for you.
No, no. Let's start, first of all, with your own car. You drive a biodiesel. Let's talk about that.
Right.
How did you get that? What is biodiesel?
Right. Well, what my car is, it's a 22-year-old Mercedes, not the top of the line. It's one of the cheaper ones. And it's a Mercedes diesel. And I buy biodiesel, which is a fuel made from vegetable oil, from a supplier up in Ukiah in Mendocino County, and he's kind enough to drive down here to Santa Rosa a couple of times a month to make deliveries, and my friend and I have a couple of 55-gallon drums, and he fills them up, and then we fill up our cars from those. Currently I'm driving without contributing directly, at least, to U.S. Middle East foreign policy, and it's great stuff. I like biodiesel a lot. It smells a lot nicer than petroleum diesel, and it's more expensive, unfortunately. And the car doesn't get quite as good gas mileage, but it runs perfectly well. And I think it's a kind of a boutique fuel that's becoming more and more popular. I'm seeing more and more little running on biodiesel stickers in the diesel car windows every day.
And I think that's a great idea. And here's why I would love to have a car again.
Mm-hmm.
Time, by nature, is also a non-renewable resource.
Yeah.
And I keep saying, gosh, if I could have all the time I've spent waiting for public transit tacked on to the end of my normal life expectancy, I'd probably live to be at least 110.
Yeah, well, I wish we had public transit here in Santa Rosa. There are a few city buses, but it's not terribly easy to get around. And for the nation as a whole, biodiesel really, and I have to say, hydrogen fuel cells and electric cars and hybrid cars, they're all good ideas. I'm glad I have my biodiesel car. I think it's great. People who can afford these things, and so although you know this car only cost me like $3,000, so it's not like I had to put a second mortgage on the house to get it. But they're great alternatives. But for the country as a whole, it's unrealistic to think that we're going to be able to run our national fleet of eight. It's actually a global fleet of 800 million cars. Nationally, I think it's more like a little over 100 million, 120 million cars on these alternative fuels. Take biodiesel, for example. The net energy from biodiesel is very low. In other words, in order to get that vegetable oil, you have to grow, say, soybeans or coconuts or something else to get the oil from. And with the fossil fuel inputs and the transportation and the processing that it takes to get that vegetable oil to the biodiesel plant, you've already used as much or more energy than the biodiesel will ultimately have when you burn it. So that's why I call it a boutique fuel. I think it's great for those who want to get into it. But it's not a solution to our national problem.